I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. Hope everybody had a wonderful week so far. Hope you had a great day today. Great week over here. All right, very good. I know it's a beautiful day, great temperature and weather, so hope everyone has had a chance to enjoy that and get to see everyone. I've asked our brother Brad Wood to lead us in our opening prayer, so I'll turn it over to Brad at this time.
Let's all pray together. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the blessings that you give to us and shower upon us each and every day. We thank you for this opportunity in the middle of the week to come together and to study from your word, and we'd ask as tonight as we Gerald leads and directs our minds through these parables that we can take them and learn from them, help us to help one another and to build each other up by the discussion and by Gerald's teaching of them to us. Thank you for allowing him to have the ability to share with us his knowledge, and thank you for allowing us to be able to sit at his feet tonight. We know that there are many in the confines of this building tonight who are struggling with many things, both physical and spiritual, and we'd ask that you always keep them in under your watch care. Help us to always help them in the ways in which we can, but we'll look to you as always to help them in the ways only in which you can help them. Dear God, we'd ask you to forgive us of our sins and lead us and direct us through this study as we study tonight. And if it be your will, give us tomorrow so that we can go out and be shining examples of your word to the world around us. We thank you once again for allowing us the opportunity to come to you in prayer this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brad. So next Wednesday, before I forget about it, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about prayer. So we're going to do the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18, 9 through 14. I think we'll get through that a little quicker. And then if we do, we'll go to the two parables on prayer, Luke 11, 5, 13, and then Luke 18, 1 through 8. So give you a second to look at that. Matt, I'm going to have Kim read the scripture in a minute, so she has the mic from Brad. Just wanted to let you know that. So Pharisee and the tax collector, and then the two parables on prayer. And then tonight, we are in Matthew chapter 20, the laborers and the vineyard, chapter 20, 1 through 16. And one of the things about me is I'm always ready to go. I'm like a racehorse in a starting pen, and I'm ready to jump out the gate. And I always forget. I always want to read this ahead of time, and I always forget to do it. So tonight I'm gonna slow down, and I'm gonna let Kim read it for us. Kim Elms. So Kim, when you're ready, Matthew 20, 1 through 16.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last.
Very much. Kim, thank you. This is probably, go ahead and say it now, it's probably one of my favorite parables now. I've never taught it before, but after studying this and diving deep into it, you know, you always kind of think the sower or the good Samaritan, which is why I started with those two, but man, this is a great one. So let's just jump right into it right now. It's interesting when you look at these, too many times we jump right into these and we don't know what's going on in Jesus' conversation with everybody. Now, if you back up to Matthew 19, 16 through 26, we have the story of the rich young ruler. And so could someone real quick, what happened in the story of the rich young ruler? Yeah, so we see that, and this is a really cool, and actually it's getting, the more I think about it, it's even a neater setup. The rich young ruler thought that all the things he'd done gave him interest in the kingdom of God. I've done all these things since my youth. I'm pretty awesome. I'm good, right? Everything's good to go. I'm just, well, sell all your stuff. And of course, he's like, you know, I'm willing to do all of these things except for this. And so we don't know how that story ends. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't later on. But in the context here, he doesn't. So we're looking at, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom? How many works or how much stuff do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And so this is where we pick up here in Matthew 19. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished. And said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Well, the disciples were like, man, this is, I got to give up everything. I got to do everything. Are you kidding me? Who can do this? Who can accomplish this? And then here's the next section. Then Peter responded and said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you that you have followed me, and in the regeneration the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, and you will also sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or more and children or farms on account of my name will receive many times as much and will inherit the eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last, first. And so here, he's saying it's going to be difficult for him to get in. And we see immediate, what does Peter start doing? Peter starts pulling a rich young ruler here. Do you see this? Behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be there for us? Look at all we've done for you, Jesus. We've left everything and followed you. What shall we inherit? What shall we get for this great thing that we've done? And of course, Jesus says, truly, you have, and you followed me. In the generation of the man, you'll sit on your throne, and you shall upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they're getting super excited here, not understanding here what all this means. And then in 29, and everyone who's left their houses and brothers and mothers, you know, they will inherit as well, eternal life. And then he has this phrase here. And this is an interesting phrase. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And then Jesus goes into his parable. Jesus here sees that his disciples are thinking like the rich young ruler to a degree. They know they've done some stuff. They've left everything. They're thinking earthly, thinking that because of the great things I've done, I'm going to be rewarded more for it. Because I've done more. I've been with you. Look at all the things that I've done, Jesus. And so then he tells them this parable. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first is how he ends that. And then we jump into the parable, Matthew 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. And so now, knowing what's on their mind and their heart, he now tells them a parable. And so we see here, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here. So he's telling them how the kingdom of heaven is set up, what the kingdom of heaven is about. Right now, they may not understand it. Now, in our world, seniority means something. For instance, I just started my 20th year at my company. I believe that means something. Matter of fact, when I want something at work, I say I've been doing this 20 years, and you better listen to me because I know what I'm talking about. I believe that matters. Does anybody here not think seniority matters at a job? Matter of fact, union systems in most companies are based on seniority, right? How many years of service you've given, that means something. And it should mean something, right? Should it? Somebody who's been working somewhere 15 years, do you want somebody who's been there 1 week get whatever it is you get? Same vacation, same pay, same everything? Who in here is okay with that? Who in here is okay with that? They just hired a person and you find out they're getting 6 weeks vacation and you get four. Anybody okay with that? See, I got mad last year and a half ago. We went to unlimited vacation. I have worked all these years to get my 4 weeks, and now a person got hired the next day gets unlimited vacation. I don't even know what that means right now, but technically, I can take the whole year off, I guess, if I want to. I don't know, but anyway, we all know what that means. But anyway, no, we don't. And so we have our earthly mindset on things, just like the apostles, just like Peter. Peter was thinking about, man, you know, I'm in here at the beginning of this pyramid scheme that Jesus is setting up. And the disciples, we know we talked about it before, I'm going to be on the right. Somebody's going to be on the left. Man, you know, we're going to have power. We're going to be able to do things. We're telling this parable now, and Jesus is trying to explain something to him. Now, what is a parable? Parable is placed beside to cast alongside. So you're taking something and you're putting aside something else. My favorite one you guys know is the known beside the unknown. So the known is what we can understand beside the spiritual, which is unknown, or the commonly used phrase, an earthly story, the heavenly meaning. So the kingdom of God, he's going to explain it to us with an earthly story to give us that known between the unknown. So we're talking about a vineyard. We don't have a lot of vineyards in Kentucky. There are some popping up around eastern Kentucky. I think there's a couple in western Kentucky. They're kind of becoming a little more popular thing. But I've only seen one vineyard. I go to the Biltmore Estate once every 2 or 3 years. They've got one up on a hillside. They actually have a winery there that's the most toured winery in the world. United States. I can't believe that, actually. I think you'd think California. You'd think somewhere else. So I kind of have an idea, but not really. I've only seen, I didn't see their whole vineyard. And so you can imagine these things are forever, and they got grapes hanging on them, and it's laborious. I mean, it's all handwork. All of it's handwork. You know, I guess maybe now they have machines, but it's definitely back in the first century, it would have all been handwork. It would have been laborious. Not a lot of shade. This would have been hot, as my wife says, or her mother says, out in the hot, boiling sun. I guess that's a Grayson County term for being out in the hot boiling sun or out in the hot area. But anyway, hot boiling sun, hand work, this would have been a difficult thing. So, and guess what? They're hiring. He's hiring. Okay? Now, I read a couple things about when you harvest grapes. Supposedly, when grapes come into ripeness, you have limited time to get them in because they turn to sugar. And then that sugar starts turning, and if you don't get them in a certain time, then everything starts going crazy, and I guess you get raisins. I don't know. But you can't let this go on for 2 or 3 weeks. Like, when they're in, you got to get them, and it would have been something you're doing. So he's hiring. Verse 2. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. Okay. Denarius, a day's wage. Okay, they agreed on it. Now, at my job, we call that per diem. We used a lot of weird words when I got started. I wasn't familiar with these, but this is one of them. We hire people for a daily wage. If you work 4 hours, if you work 12 hours, you get paid the same amount at our job. And so sometimes the per diems will complain about the 12-hour day. And, of course, I will be very nice and politely remind them of the 4-hour day the day before. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I said, it all averages out. But it's a daily wage that you get. And so they agreed for a denarius, a daily wage. And that's what he offered them. He went out and hired them. He offered them, and they came. You know, Leviticus 19:13 talks about this. You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired worker are not to remain with you all night until morning. So a daily wage. This would have been something that would have been common in the first century. We see it in Deuteronomy as well. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he does not cry out against you to the Lord, and it becomes sin to you. And if you didn't know this was common, Fazoli's has been reading the Bible, and they've also adopted this as well. Here they have, we offer daily pay up in Janesville, Wisconsin. Also saw this on their sign as well. So a lot of businesses trying to get workers, they're offering daily wages as well. So first century, things within the first century are coming back now. They say history repeats itself and everything comes back around. Daily wages is happening in the fast food industry. Everyone agreed. Did they not agree? I'm going to work for you all day for one denarius. Or denarii. How do you say that? Just one denarius. So funny story on David. And he didn't know this is funny, but I'm going to tell it because my wife makes fun of me all the time about it. So it's a double funny story that I'm going to get in trouble from both of them. But supposedly, I have a hard time pronouncing a lot of things, and I take after some other friends of ours in this congregation, I guess. And so I don't care. I just make up stuff. Like, I act like I know what it says. I don't really care. I just go with it, and sometimes people don't know or not. But David here, and I'm sure he meant nothing by it, but my wife jokes about that maybe he did. He bought me a book on how to pronounce everything in the Bible, every name and every word. And he bought me that book. And so every time I do something, Stephanie's like, did you read David's book? You know, he bought you that book because he knows you can't pronounce stuff. Now, David, I know you didn't buy me that book for that reason. Okay. All right. So everyone agreed on the one denarius here. All right. So they agree. And that's okay, right? You agree on something. One of the things I hate this. This is one way to get on my nerves, and employees do it all the time. I hate it when I have an employee, and we've agreed on their wage to start. And then, like, the next week, they're like, we need to renegotiate that. And I'm like, no, we're not renegotiating. I don't renegotiate. Like, you agreed. We shook on it. It's done. Oh, this drives me nuts. Like, because to me, you move on. We've agreed. We move on, right? Is that how, I mean, you make a deal, you move on. We don't go back and rehash, especially after a week or 2 days or whatever. Anyway, so they agreed. One denarius, they're there. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Well, so some people are standing idle. There they are, third hour, 9 a.m. in the morning. So the first group started at 6 a.m. And so I guess he thinks things are going well, or maybe he's like, maybe they're not moving as fast, or maybe he's like, I need more people. Whatever the case is, he goes out to the marketplace. He sees some guys standing around idle. And he offers him a job as well. And, you know, that's interesting to me because, you know, well, I think I've got a slide for it. Standing idle. You know, there are all kinds of people out there. There are people going to run into. There's people who don't know. There's all kinds of situations that are out there. And so this guy found some guys that are standing idle. Now, one of the commentators I read, he lives in Texas. And he says a lot of agriculture people will be in an area and they will be standing there. And farmers will drive up, and they'll say, I need five. They get five, they haul in the vehicle, and they go out. And maybe they'll come back at 10 o'clock, and they say, I need six more, and they're still standing there, and they hire them, and they go. And so I'm not familiar with that, but I do get the concept here that maybe he needed more people, and he saw them, and he said, hey, let's go. We know we need you. And so they're standing idle. And so we can see that here. And to those he said, you go to the vineyard also. And whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. I love that phrase there, whatever is right. The guy must have been an upstanding guy or somebody they trusted. They didn't even negotiate on a wage. He just said, whatever's right, I will give you. In 2022, we would never do that because you never know what somebody's thinking of what will right will be. But anyway, they said, fine, we'll go. Probably understanding that in that day and time, a day's wage would have been a denarius, and so they would have been able to do that. And I love these guys. They got offered a job, and what'd they do? They took it. They went. One of the things that kind of bugs me about some people that I've known in the past is they get offered jobs, and they're like, well, That wasn't the right job. That wasn't the job I was looking for. Or I was hoping for a different job. Or, okay, so you're not going to work the whole week? At least take what you can get today and then look for the other job. I love these guys. I think there's a whole lesson here. You could do a whole sermon just right here. And they went. They were offered a job. They went. Didn't ask any, they didn't know they were getting paid. They went. And I think that's pretty amazing here. Did they know this opportunity existed beforehand? Anyone? No, it didn't. I don't think they did. I wasn't going to mix it. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who don't know about the kingdom of God. And they're standing around idle. The guy went out and saw him, and what did he do? He told him about an opportunity he had. He didn't even tell him what he was going to pay him, and they took it. There are a lot of people standing around idle, needing us to go tell them. And sometimes we don't have to tell them what the reward is. But they know they're missing something in their life. And we can tell them that we have a way to fix that hole or a way to fix that problem in their life or to help them. And we have a message that we can give them, and we can do it. And they don't even know that the opportunity even exists today. Did they know what others were getting paid? They didn't care. I got offered a job. I'm going to take it. You know, it's so funny. I make it a point not to know what people equal to me in my company make. In fact, I tell my boss I do not want to know, because if somebody makes more than me that's equal to me, I'm going to be mad about it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll be mad about it. Wouldn't you be mad about it? I'm going to be mad about it, because I've been there 20 years. I've been there 20 years. I should be making more as much as anybody else. So I make it a point not to know. I don't want to know. I never have wanted to know. Interesting enough, we used to get sales quotas. For like the first 15 years, we weren't allowed to tell each other what our quotas were. I thought that was pretty good. And then all of a sudden one day we're like, we're going to be the most transparent company out there. And now everybody knows what everybody's quotas are, and I don't know that it makes a difference anymore. Everybody's still kind of, well, Johnny got more than me, and I got more than him, and I think it'd be better if no one knew, and then we'd be better off. But yeah, I don't want to know. I don't know what other people get paid. Because if somebody's doing the same job as you are and they're making more money than you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Dave? You're going to be jealous. I mean, it's just how we are. We're never going to go, man, Dave, I'm glad you're making $5,000 more than me. You're more awesome than I am. That's awesome, dude.
Or leave. You look for another job.
Well, you look for another. That's what you do. That's what you would do. You'd be like, I'm underpaid. I'm out of here. I'm going to find somebody who appreciates me. You appreciate Dave, but you don't appreciate me. That's what we do. So I found it interesting here. They don't know. They're okay with that. They don't even know if they're getting paid. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. He did the same thing. Nobody is working in this town, just FYI, because he's finding people all over the place. So there must be a recession going on. And I could make a bunch of jokes now, and I'm going to reverse and not go that way. So anyway, he goes out and he finds all these people at different hours, and he's offering jobs left and right. If you've never had a Hebrew clock, that's a Hebrew clock. I do not know what time it is because I can't tell which the short one is. I guess that's 12:45. I don't know. Why am I telling you Hebrew clock? Because you're probably wondering how I know what times it are. So if you can see that. So a Jewish day starts at 6 a.m. in the morning. So the third hour would be 9 o'clock. The sixth hour would be, you know, 12, so forth and so on, every 3 hours. So sunrise to sunset is their day. And so you can see third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, and then 6 p.m. would be the 12th hour. They worked 12-hour days back then. We work 8-hour days. At least this story says they work from sunrise to sunset. That's their day, 6-hour days. I mean, 12-hour days. And so that's the Jewish clock here. And so he hired laborers at 6 a.m. He hired laborers at 9 a.m. He hired laborers at 12 a.m. And he hired laborers at 3 p.m. This is important to keep up with this, because this is the whole gist of the story, is these different times. And about the 11th hour, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" Once again, people standing around everywhere, idle. He's finding people left and right. He's got plenty of work, and there you go. And then, like any normal person, I saw the word 11th hour, and I was like, well, that's really odd, 11th hour. Huh, I've heard that phrase before many, many times when people are cutting it close, and it says, hey, they got it to the 11th hour. And so I Googled, where did the phrase, you know, the 11th hour come from? Guess where it came from? It came from the Bible. So 5 p.m. here, the 11th hour, and the phrase, the 11th hour, has a biblical origin. It comes from the parable in Matthew in which a few last-minute workers hired along after others are paid the same wage. Despite being brought on the job after the 11th hour of hard vineyard work, they weren't too late. Yes, ma'am?
You know, they're still doing this today.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's probably just an understood kind of thing. Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, they just kind of bring them. So anyway, I find it funny how unchristian our society is trying to be and how unbiblical our society is going to be. And I bet I read three articles this week that talked about a good Samaritan. And then this phrase, 11th hour, couldn't get close. 11th hour, huh? I mean, that phrase has been used a million times this week, probably. And the phrase came from this parable, the 11th hour. So you can't get rid of it because everything we do and say is biblically based. So it kind of cracked me up when I Googled it and it was like, oh, that came from this parable. I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm teaching this parable tonight. So this is wonderful. So the 11th hour he came for. So verse 7, and they said to him, because no one hired us. He says, what have you been standing all day? Why haven't you been working? And he says, because nobody's going to hire us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. I got work for everybody. So he sends them. Everybody's got work. Even up to the 11th hour, he's hiring people. You can see the phrase now. We use that all the time. The 11th hour, I was da-da-da-da. So let's review. He hired somebody at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 a.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. Okay, this guy's got a great HR department. It would take me 6 days to hire one person. So I don't know how he hired him so quickly, but definitely not my HR department. All right, so he hired all different times a day. We don't have many people, but he hired different amounts of people that were standing idle all throughout the day. Verse 8, now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group to the first. Now, doesn't that seem odd to you? The last group in gets paid first. That would seem kind of odd. I'd be like, hey, I've been here all day. I want to get paid first. I've been here 20 years. I want to be paid. So at 6 p.m., work is done. So there are guys who've been there from 6 a.m. all the way to 6 p.m., 12-hour day. Now they're starting to get paid. And so they're going to pay all the different people. Who got paid first? The last person, the 11th hour man, that's who got paid first. So that's who you wanted to start with, which seems so odd when you think about it. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a possibility, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he had an initiative here. So starting with the last group first, Todd. No. Yep. Right. 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 Yep. Yeah. Yeah, when I used to haul hay and cut tobacco in high school, we all knew we were getting paid. We all got paid at the same time because we all usually, you know, got there and you got in line. So, yeah. Okay, so who was watching as he's starting to pay the first person? Yeah, they're all watching. Everybody's watching. He's being completely transparent Everybody can watch it. Everybody can see it. It's wide open. This guy's a super nice guy. Everything is wide open. Here we are. It's completely transparent. Everybody can see it. Nothing being hid, nothing under the sun here that nobody can see. How many hours did each group work? So in case you hadn't been jotting it down, I kept up for you. Got it right here for you. The 6 a.m. guy worked 12 hours. The 9 a.m. guy worked 9 hours. The 12 a.m. guy worked 6 hours. The 3 p.m. guy worked 3 hours. And the 5 p.m. guy worked 1 hour. All right? Okay, we got that? It's a big deal. Dwayne, 12 hours and 1 hour is a lot of difference in work, right? You were usually the 1 hour guy, right? Yeah, you're a union man. No, I'm just kidding. Woo, I better watch out. Okay, all right. So that's how many hours we got here, and that's where we're at. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Whoa, wait a second. We haven't seen this for a little while. The only time we saw how much people were getting paid was when? The first group. The other guys, they had no idea what they were getting paid. He just told them to go, and they said, we'll pay. The first guys got, they said they were getting a denarius and whether they're going to get paid. Okay, to Todd's point, they're all there. They're all watching. All right, so if I'm the guy that's been there since 12 o'clock and I see the guy that's been there for an hour gets a denarius, what am I thinking? This is going to be a good day because I've worked 12 times as hard as this guy. You know, I might even get 12 days worth of wages here, 12 denarius, right? That's what I'm thinking. You don't think I'm not thinking that? I'm being honest. I'd be thinking that. I'd be like, man, this guy worked an hour. I can do quick math here. Man, I can't wait to be paid. This is going to be awesome. How much those who worked 1 hour receive? 1 denarius. And so when the hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. Oh, you mean the guy that only worked 3 hours thought he was going to get more than the guy? So everybody preceding the 11th hour guy thought they were all going to get, makes logical sense. Why was this parable being told again? Anybody, real quick, why was this parable being told again? Yes, yes, it is. But specifically to this story, what preceded this story? Let's just get that in our mind real quick before we continue. Last will be first. Yeah. Yeah, the apostles are saying, hey, Lord, look what all we left. We're pretty awesome. Look at all we've given you, all we've sacrificed. We have done an amazing amount of stuff. And then he tells them this parable. And so we see here in this parable, 11th hour man, and the first hour man, everybody receives a denarius. They saw how much those who had worked 1 hour received and assumed they would receive more. And I think that's logical, guys. I don't think that's illogical. I would think the same thing. Would you not? Yeah, that's why they formed a union. That's right. That's why they formed a union. Clearly, that's logical. I would have thought the exact same. I would have expected the exact same thing. And you would have too, if you're all being honest with yourself, right? So, how much did each group get paid? Yes, ma'am?
It kind of makes me think of the prodigal son when the brother said, I've served you faithfully all this time, and now this brother that comes to the ninth hour and has wasted everything, now he gets rewarded. It's the similar thing that I think we say sometimes when we want to categorize sin. Well, his sin is worse than mine. I just had these little things I did, and I've done this, and so I'm just better. Well, the Lord was trying to teach them that we're all on the same footing, no matter what.
We're all on the same footing. So they all got 1 denarius. That's their old paychecks. Everybody got paid the same. And does this seem fair? And I'm going to be the one to say it here? No, it does not seem fair. I'm just going to throw it out there. From an earthly standpoint, there's nobody in this room, I don't think, unless you're a lot nicer than I am, and I'm a pretty nice guy, thinks this is fair. I mean, you know, we wouldn't want to do it our own job. If somebody was working 1 hour and we were working 12 hours a day and making the same amount of money, how many days would you be at that job? Oh, yeah. I know. Just, David?
Contrary to public opinion, God is not an American. And we can sometimes get caught up in the magic words are, I will do right by you. We can depend on God to do right. Regardless of how long we serve him or how little time we have to serve him. He wants us to serve him.
Yeah. He said, I'll do you right. He actually put that in the parable. That's right, David. Great point. Should those who had worked 12 hours been paid more than those who worked 1 hour? I'm trying to get controversy started in the class. So no, they shouldn't have. But you know, we're learning here, right? We're getting through the parable. I don't know if you guys know Gardner Hall, but Gardner Hall, I don't remember, there's been a lot of meetings in the last 17 years, and I'll be honest with you, I don't remember a lot of those meetings. I don't remember a lot of what was said in those meetings, but I remember one phrase that Gardner Hall said in this meeting 17 or 18 years ago, and he talked about having spiritual glasses and earthly glasses, and he said sometimes we've got to take our earthly glasses off when we're looking at life, and we got to put our spiritual glasses on so we can see more clearly. And that just blew my brain all to pieces. Like, I just exploded, and, you know, and I've remembered that ever since. Sometimes as we look at this, how much we're getting paid and all that, we're looking at all this stuff with our earthly glasses on. And sometimes we've got to take those off. And we got to put our spiritual glasses on, which is going through looking at the scriptures and understanding the spiritual of whatever it is we're dealing with instead of the physical of what we're doing. And hence, a parable, taking a physical concept to teach a spiritual one. And so we got to look at this in a spiritual and what the application is. And so verse 11, when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. They grumbled. Complained. Why am I not getting 12 times as much? Or why am I at least getting one more? And it's interesting here, you see grumbling. And God does not like grumbling. I just want to throw that out there. In Exodus, we see it a couple times. Here, it said they set out from Elam, and in the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. But the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses. A lot of grumbling. Sometimes it didn't work out too well for them. We see grumbling again in Deuteronomy here. We're not going to read it. But they had malice in their eye toward their poor brother and give him nothing, and they cried out, O Lord, against him. I mean, we see that, and we see people doing that. And so in verse 12, saying, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and to you, you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the day and worked in the scorching heat. They don't understand. How is it that the 1 hour person is getting equal to what I've done, and I've worked 11 hours more in the hot sun? I've done all this. What's the parable being told again for? Oh, yeah, the apostles are saying, look at all I've done. He's telling them this parable to remind them not to look at what they've done. They make a great point. And they do make a great point. But they're looking at this the wrong way in this story, and Jesus is trying to tell them that. Verse 13, but he answered and said to them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for one denarius? Did they not agree at the beginning that they would work 12 hours for one denarius? They agreed. What's the problem? And he goes on to say, I don't know why this is a problem, because they agreed on it. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, take what's yours and go. But I want to give this last person the same as you. I want to do it. If you own a business and you want to pay somebody more money or different money, do you not have the right to do that? You can do whatever you want to your own money. If I want to give my money away to something crazy that you think's crazy, I can do that. It's my money. What's it to you? And in verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is my own? Or is it your eye envious because I am generous? Wow, that's pretty heavy. Oh, you're upset that the guy only worked 1 hour and got the same thing that he got paid. You're the one who has the problem, not me. It's my money. I can give it to who I want to. You're the one who has the problem that this person only did 1 hour's work and was here and got paid the same thing you did. Yeah. Yeah, that very well, because they needed it. Yeah, agriculture here. I love this John passage, and I want to read it because I think it's hilarious. And there's a guy who preached a sermon here. I can't think of his name, but it was a really good sermon. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, the one who had leaned back on his chest at his supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who's betraying you?" So Peter, upon seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want him to remain till I come, what is it to you? Follow me." Therefore, this account went among the brothers and the disciples to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only if he wants him to remain until he come, what is it to you? Wow. I'll do what I want to, Peter. What is it to you? This parable is saying, I will do what I want to do. As long as I do what I've agreed to do to you, as David said, God will keep his word. He's keeping his word. What's it to you if somebody else only works an hour and get paid? What is it to you, Peter? What is it to you what I do here? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. How did we end chapter 19? What was the last phrase in chapter 19? The exact same phrase, because Peter and the apostles were trying to figure out all these things they've done, how awesome they are. Man, this is going to be great. We're going to get... And he tells them this parable. And says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Jesus ended where he started. We're not going to read it because of time. But he says this whole thing with Peter here. Because Peter's saying all the great things I've done, and Jesus says that. Wow, isn't that really cool how the book ends? That they end with the same phrases there, and Jesus is pointing that out. So, I put together some application for us. But let me say this. There's like 25 gazillion applications out of this story. Like, the more I went, the more... And you may have some. Stephanie, go.
Well, I was just going to say, when Michael and I were first starting out at our first work, there was a man in Mr. Power who was somebody who helped climb the mountain. He was 94 years old. Michael finally got a Bible study with him. And after some time, he was finally baptized. A week later, he was not dead.
God's going to keep he's going to keep his word with you. He's going to keep his word with a 94-year-old. Absolutely. So, application. I'm going to give you a couple of mine. You may have some as well. Please jump in to do it. The first one here, God will reward those who are willing to sacrifice for the kingdom. Period. If you're willing to sacrifice for the kingdom, doesn't matter what time you start, he's going to reward you. Done. Okay? That's what he's saying in this story. Everybody that sacrifices for the kingdom is going to get rewarded. Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what background, doesn't matter country, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter anything. Everybody who sacrificed for the kingdom of God is going to be rewarded. Number two, everyone is equally rewarded. There's not somebody who's going to have, like heaven's going to be made up of like different subdivisions, you know, and you're going to have the higher end subdivision and the lower end subdivision and over here and over there and all that. It's all equal, okay? I don't understand it. But we all get in the same reward. There is no, everybody, it's all being happened. Your reward is not based on anything you've done on this earth other than being obedient to Jesus and God and following Jesus. Stephanie. That's an excellent point, and that's why I married you, because you're so smart. Very good. Okay, their reward, yeah, so quit getting on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, and all the things that I'm not on and comparing yourself to everybody else. Just shut it all down and just be happy. I'm just kidding. All right, done. All right, moving on. Example, thief on the cross. Did he do a whole lot? He didn't do the week. He didn't even do a week. He might not have done an hour. I don't know how long. Apostle John, they think he died at 88 years old, and he was an apostle. You know what reward both of them got? The exact same. There are no rankings in the kingdom of God. And the last one here, we need to be happy for everyone who is rewarded to enter the kingdom of God. If somebody gets to heaven and you're like, you didn't go to church with me, or you didn't do X, Y, Z, you didn't. Hey, if you're there and they're there, who cares? We're all happy. Everybody needs to be happy. We need to be happy for everybody in the kingdom of God. Thanks, guys. Sorry, we didn't get more comments in.